Andrew Boyd from Release International. Thank you very much for joining us here on TWR UK. I wonder if you can begin by reminding us about Asia Bibi's story.
Her story is one that has captured the world's imagination because she is the first Christian woman, the only woman ever to be sentenced to death for blasphemy in Pakistan. It started years ago now, and this has taken up so much of her life, years ago when she was working as a labourer in a field with some Muslim colleagues. There was a bickering. I mean, these things happen. And she brought them some water to drink, and they said, "We can't drink that. You're a Christian. It's unclean." And they got into a bit of an argument. And in the end, a cry of blasphemy went up. Now, when that happens in Pakistan, it takes away your life, possibly even literally, because there are so many vigilantes who've killed other people for the sake of it. In fact, the Supreme Court in Pakistan ruled today that something like 60 people have been killed because of this, because of vigilantism. So a cry of blasphemy went up. That was firmed up by an imam who wasn't present, and his evidence today was rejected to say that there is no substantial evidence to support the claim all of these years later that Asia Bibi had committed blasphemy, and she has been acquitted. The real issue right now is how to get her safely and her family safely out of Pakistan, where protests are erupting in the streets.
I was reading this morning that she spent several years in solitary confinement. Do we have any idea what kind of conditions she's been held in and how she is right now?
She's given an interview and says that she can hardly believe that the Supreme Court have overturned that verdict of death for blasphemy, completely acquitted her. She can hardly believe it. She's absolutely overjoyed. So is her family. But within the court itself, within the prison itself, yes, she's been held in solitary confinement. And there have been so many threats made against her. There have been threats that her food would be poisoned, threats that the prison would be bombed. There have been pledges of large sums of money to anybody that will kill her. So it's been an incredibly difficult position for her to be in. And she has nevertheless held on to her Christian faith throughout this. And in the things that she said recently, she read a book a little while back. In the things that she said recently, she will not convert to Islam. She is holding on to her Christian faith. She's remaining firm. But what an incredible ordeal, not just for her, but for her family. And it's an ordeal that represents what is going on for so many other Christians in Pakistan too.
There were rumours just a couple of weeks ago, Andrew, that the death penalty was about to be carried out. Given that, is this news about her acquittal a complete surprise?
No, it's not actually. We thought that she would be acquitted, thank God. Yes, there are always rumours, and she still isn't safe because there is the constant threat of vigilante action. There are people who are saying that the court has sold out. In fact, a radical party today is calling for the overthrow of the Pakistan government. They're staging protests in a number of different cities. They're blocking highways. There are great barricades across the highways. They're setting fire to rubber tyres. Now, these are the kind of people that will say that whatever any court says, what has to happen here is that death must be carried out. And these are the people that have been doing that in the past. So many, many people have died before. So she's not in a safe place now. The threats are very real. They're absolutely genuine. From Release International's point of view, of course, we're utterly, utterly delighted that Asia has been acquitted, that justice is being done, that the court has taken a courageous position, because a previous appeal hearing, the judge there recused himself. He stepped back from the trial, and there have been 150 militants have threatened to kill anybody that acquitted her. Those fatwas still stand. So it's a very courageous thing to do. But what has to happen now? We must pray for Asia and her family. We must pray for the Christian community within Pakistan. We must give thanks that this has happened today, but we must also continue to press that these blasphemy laws, utterly notorious laws, which are just used to take down people and remove opponents, these laws must be repealed.
We're recording this interview at 10:30 on Wednesday morning. Do we know if she's actually left the prison yet?
We don't know that. From an interview given earlier to an agency, they said that they'd interviewed her in her prison cell. We could speculate a lot about this. I don't really want to speculate, but I must say that if I were in that position in Pakistan, I would have made sure that she was nowhere near there by the time that I gave out this verdict. But that is pure speculation on my part. It's so important that she's got away. It's so important that she and her family are given asylum. And there are reports out there today that a number of countries are lining up to do so. That's marvellous. Wouldn't it be great if the UK would join that?
What can the Pakistani government do to ensure that she can get out past these worrying protests and end up somewhere like the UK or wherever safely?
Well, Pakistan has a very effective and powerful security service and army. It shouldn't be beyond their wit to do this if they wish to do it. But we have to remember that when it comes to the blasphemy law, people who have protested about it in the past, leading politicians, governors, have been assassinated, one of them by his own bodyguard, killed publicly. That bodyguard was later hanged. When he was hanged at his funeral, thousands of people turned out to sprinkle rose petals on the funeral of this man. And as a result of his death, a radical opposition party has come up, which today is calling for the overthrow of the government. You have a culture which is divided and you have a nation which is divided over this. We need to remember that Christians make up a tiny minority in Pakistan. It isn't only Christians who find themselves accused of blasphemy, but there is a disproportionate number of Christians who are being accused of blasphemy. And from the point of view of the radicals, anybody who believes in anything other than Allah and their prophet would just be a walking, living, breathing blasphemy anyway. So it's a culture change that has to happen, but that change has to happen by a repeal of these laws. Unfortunately, Imran Khan, the newly elected prime minister in Pakistan, has said that these laws will stand. Release International really hopes today that he changes his mind about this, because these laws are an affront to humanity. And the way they are being abused to kill people judicially, it's on the statute books, you could be executed, nobody has been, but the vigilantes are doing it for them, so these laws have to be repealed.
Do the protests that are taking place as we speak show that there's not actually that much support for a change in the blasphemy laws in Pakistan on the ground?
Oh, you're right. And actually, in recent years, there's been a hardening of attitude to support the blasphemy laws. It's a difficult one because Pakistan is a country which has become increasingly more radical. It is not only unpopular to oppose the blasphemy laws, some have said it's even blasphemous to oppose the blasphemy laws. To debate the subject is even blasphemous. And politicians and others are being assassinated for daring to suggest that. So it takes a very brave person to speak up in favour of a change in the law when you've got a shift within Pakistani society to a harder, more right-wing line.
Andrew, there are some other countries around the world who have a blasphemy law. Specifically, the one that comes to the top of my mind straight away is Ireland. Do countries like that have a responsibility to scrap their blasphemy laws and lead the way here to try and encourage Pakistan to make a difference?
Oh, this is a huge question about the separation of church and state. It's a massive one. If you were to ask somebody in the US that question, they would probably come up with a completely different answer. But the issue is not about whether we should have laws to protect people from being outraged, and it's partly that that's behind the blasphemy law. The real issue here is that you have a law in Pakistan, and these laws we're beginning to see applied in other countries too, like Indonesia, which are almost a carte blanche for extrajudicial execution. I'm talking about murder here. We're talking about extreme violence and giving a cultural rationale for vigilantism. This is a totally different field to the one that we see in Ireland. The only thing that's in common here is the word blasphemy.
Have Release International done any work on this case?
Yeah, Release International has been campaigning for her release. We have been providing some support for her family, and we've also been petitioning the Pakistan government for years now to repeal the blasphemy laws. We'll carry on doing it.